You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh.
There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Happy Tuesday. It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. That's right. Dan and the Danettes taking some much-deserved time off this week. Rob Parker here. TJ Houshmandzadeh, the all-pro wide receiver there. And what a show we have for you. A lot of good stuff to talk about. Chris Canty, the former NFL defensive end, he'll come by a little later on in the show. Also, Ryan Hollins, the former NBA player. And also, Hugh Jackson, the former NFL coach. So we have plenty of guests, plenty of stuff to talk about. Let me welcome in TJ. Good morning, TJ. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you, my man?
Doing absolutely great. So much to talk about, and for people who don't know, TJ and I have a football podcast, the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast on the Extra Points Podcast Network, and I'm going to give my partner some dap, some respect, because he picked the Super Bowl matchup and the winner before the season even started, didn't you?
Man, I was on a... It was a lucky guess, I would like to say.
Oh, stop. Stop, dude. Pat yourself on the back. Go ahead and do it.
I was one of the few that really believed in the culture change that Brady could bring to Tampa. They already had the talent. They just needed a culture change, and I was somewhat correct with that.
You got that one right. So we will give you some respect for his insight on the NFL, and we're going to talk some NFL real quick. TJ, yesterday I had a life-altering situation happen to me. You ready?
I'm ready.
I got Invisalign for my teeth. Have you ever had that?
Rob, it's so crazy you bring that up. So to answer your question, yes, my wife was talking trash about me, like, your teeth are moving at the bottom. I've never had braces in my life.
Right.
And so, long story short, I go and get Invisalign last February. Well, I was supposed to be done in 3 months. Obviously, COVID-19 and everything shutting down. I literally just finished about a week ago. I still haven't even got my permanent retainers. It's actually not that bad.
Right.
But your teeth will be sore every time you switch to a new tray for about a day or two.
Definitely. Last night, somehow, some way, I did the whole Odd Couple show last night on Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 10 p.m., and I wore them the whole time, thinking that I could, do a radio show, and I would, I'm talking like crazy, so that's a bad idea.
they probably thought you were drunk or something.
Yes, like, or slurring. What's going on? Exactly. So they are off for the Dan Patrick Show, and we will not do that. So, all right. I got a bottom tooth that moved, so I'm trying to get it. Right, and I got to wear on both top and bottom. Did you have top and bottom as well?
I did have to wear top and bottom, but it was only for one tooth at the bottom.
That's what I have. One tooth moved, so I got
to
get that.
I had to do the top as well. Go figure.
All right. Well, the big news overnight, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm going to be honest. I woke up to an alert that said that Carson Wentz had been traded to the Chicago Bears. Right. But, you get an alert, but I didn't know what the source was. I couldn't find it on my iPhone. So I go to, the usual places, NFL.com, ESPN. There's nothing there other than the rumors, TJ, that the Bears are in hot pursuit, and they are, quote unquote, the front runner. That's what everybody's saying. What do you think about this marriage if it does officially happen and Carson Wentz heads to the Chicago Bears?
Well, it's one of those things. Carson Wentz, he's as good as gone, and it looks like it's two teams that are vying for services with the Bears and the Colts, and the Bears seem to be the ones that are more in than the Colts. And so, for me, it's one of – you look at Chicago, that defense is really good. They don't have the offensive line that Indy has. And so, I know he's looking at it like the Colts have young weapons and – Himes and Pittman, but it's really that offensive line and that defense that can really give him a chance to fulfill the promise that he once had. And you go to the Bears, and you would assume if they can re-sign Allen Robinson, they're right there with the Colts. But defensively, if they can get back to what they were when Fangio was the D coordinator, they might be a step ahead. But for some reason, he wants to go to the Colts, and I believe it can be the Frank Wright connection.
I have two things. I like what the Bears are doing. They just don't think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be that guy, can be that guy and help them win. And the one thing, people can rip on Carson Wentz all they want. I get it, TJ. He's taking a couple steps backwards, lost his confidence. You know, things are a mess in Philadelphia with a lot of injuries. I think all 11 offensive starters, or 10 of them, not him, were hurt last year. I'm not making an excuse. These are just facts I'm throwing out. And the other thing is, he had a chance to win MVP. If you remember, through 13 and a half games, right, he was the MVP. He actually, the year he missed the last half of the game where he was injured, and then the final two games, he still had more touchdowns and less interceptions than Tom Brady, who wound up winning the MVP instead. So Carson Wentz has that kind of potential and has that ceiling. Now, whether or not you can get him back there, so we can once again call him, Wentz in a lifetime and Wentzylvania and all those other things that Shannon Sharp used to call him on Undisputed, which I thought was some clever names, I liked. I understand why the Bears are doing it. What I don't understand, though, is why the Colts aren't all the way in. Right? Phillip Rivers retired on you. You need a quarterback. And guess who he had his most success with? Frank Reich, right? When he was the offensive coordinator, now he's the coach in Indianapolis. TJ, do they know something? Why in the world would they be penny-pinching about draft picks? I get the NFL draft picks mean a lot more than in the NBA or baseball or anything like that. But when you have a chance to solidify your quarterback position, why would you be hemming and hawing? We just saw what the Rams gave up for Matthew Stafford, who's never won a playoff game. I mean, I saw Carson Wentz win the division a couple years ago with tape and glue and some strings when they beat the Cowboys. You remember that season 2 years ago?
I do. When you look at it, number one, I know I'm off subject. I love Matthew Stafford, man. I think that kid is so talented, but that's another subject. For me, it gives me a little cause to pause when I see that, number one, he had his most success with Frank Wright as his coach, as his quarterback coach. Have they watched the film, talking to coach, and they've seen something that makes them say, we're only going to give this up. I think he's regressed to the point mentally that I'm not sure we can fix him. Or are they in an idea that we know they're going to move them. We're not going to give up what they want. We're going to wait them out. We're going to stall them out because
we know. Yeah, but the only problem is that part makes sense, but there's so many suitors looking for quarterbacks this year. Am I right? Come on,
yes,
TJ.
You
this
are
is
right.
A seller's market.
But when Carson Wentz is some, you know, behind the scenes what's going on. This happens all the time. He's let it be known. His representation has let it be known. I don't want to go to Chicago. He wants to go to Indy. So do you really want to trade for a quarterback that's not all in on coming to your team? You don't want that because he's not going to be committed the way you need him to be committed. And when he's a quarterback that has had the problems he has, the last couple years on the field. You want him all in. You want him committed. You want him to give you that inclination that, man, I'm going to put all the work in. I'm going to do everything you need me to do. I'm going to lead this team the right way. And if he's not all in, then I don't know if you want to do that. And I believe the Colts, that's what I hope they're doing, is we're just going to stall them out and we're going to get them for what we want to give up.
See, I think it's the other way around. And I hear your point is well taken. But if I'm Carson Wentz and the Bears, I want to go somewhere where I'm wanted. You know what I mean? And the Bears are saying, we want you. Why are the Colts pussyfooting around? And like, you know what I mean? Like, if this is a match made in heaven and I want to go there or whatever, just you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to give up something to get me. And that's the part I don't get if the Colts are all the way in. If they think they're going to, you know, nickel and dime the Eagles and not have to, you know, pay to give up for a starting quarterback who was almost the MVP, be it 3-4 years ago, I think they're a mistake. And if they miss out, their franchise will be set back. Do you know what I mean? Like, where are you going for a quarterback?
100%. Now, are we certain that the Colts haven't spoken with Doug Peterson or coaches that were on that staff?
You mean former coach Doug Peterson, that guy?
Yes, yes. Are you so have they spoken with him? Have they spoken with players on that roster to make them say, I don't know if we want to walk down the street with him. I'm not sure we want him on our team. It could be so many things, but there's some where there's smoke, there's fire. And for the Colts not to be interested, to me, that tells me I don't know what Carson Wentz's reputation is throughout the league, but the Colts seem like a perfect fit, the perfect team. And if they're not all in, that gives me cause to pause.
Yeah, only reason I look at it is your point is well taken, but I say I look at it more as the Bears have this good defense. They're not going to waste it on a Mitch Trubisky, right? I think that's it's more about that they're desperate for a decent quarterback and feel that he's way better or an upgrade. You know, if you're the Bears, remember, the Bears just feel like, because they made the playoffs, right? At 8-8, TJ, they made the playoffs, but they know they're not good enough and they need better quarterback play. So they're the ones taking, and where there's, you know, risk, there's reward. So there's that going for the Bears. They feel like this guy can be rehabbed, can be fixed up, and maybe be able to, you know, get them to where they want to go. Because the last thing you want to do is waste a defense like that.
If the Bears can get Trubisky to what he once was, now they need to re-sign Allen Robinson. Pay the man. He's a top receiver. Pay him that money. But if they can rehab him and turn him around, the Bears will be a really good team for a long time. If this new defensive coordinator, I believe is you pronounce his last name, Desai, I'm not 100% certain. If they can get back to what they were, the Bears have a really good team. And so it's Chicago, it's very similar to Philly, the weather. It's just really interesting that Chicago, they're all in, man.
But because look at – you saw Nick Foles, right? Nick Foles is the perfect backup quarterback. When you give him the keys to the car, TJ, what happens? He crashes it. Every time they send him down to Jacksonville, right? Oh,
and
yeah,
this
Nick is
perfect. Give Nick Foles the keys, he can go for a joyride. That's it.
That's it. But he can't bring the car back home in one piece. So that doesn't work out. They get him in Chicago. They bench Trubisky for him, right? What happens? The team falls apart. He plays horribly. They got to go back to Trubisky. I know he got hurt, Nick Foles, but they were probably, you know, feeling like this is like a blessing. You know what I mean? That they could get Mitch Trubisky back in, and they back into the playoffs. I'm all in on Carson Wentz, giving him a new, fresh start. I think you're right. The Colts are definitely a spot that you would think would be ideal for him.
And it could also be one of those things where Carson Wentz has probably talked with Frank Wright and let him know this is where I want to go. And we know how this works. A lot of things are going on behind the scenes that we aren't privy to, and a lot of things can be said about this and that. And Carson Wentz is not saying it publicly, but his representation is he doesn't want to go to Chicago. And so it can be a smokescreen as well. Let's try to keep this first round pick so that we can surround you with some weapons that you may need and not send it to Philly.
No doubt. All right, it is the Dan Patrick Show on a Tuesday. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh filling in. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chris Canty, who, of course, won a Super Bowl with the New York Football Giants. We'll get his NFL takes coming up. We'll do that. And we'll get to your calls at the bottom of the hour as well if you want to chime in on this. What's the best fit for Carson Wentz? 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh. And TJ, we're going to tackle the Urban Meyer story again. Dan and the Danettes, of course, being off this week, some rest and relaxation. But the Urban Meyer and the scrutiny that came after the hiring of the strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle, that didn't last long. What a turnaround. Urban Meyer went from defending him in a press conference and the hire, saying that he vetted him, he knew him for 20 years, and then to Chris Doyle allegedly resigning. I really doubt that that was that's what happened. He probably got paid to go away. But what'd you make of it as a player? And you know, you talked to former players. I'm sure that was something that guys chatted about. What was the take from former NFL players just to hear that Urban Meyer was going to bat for this guy, Chris Doyle?
Chris Doyle must be one hell of a strength and conditioning coach. That's for sure. I will say that.
Just he has to be, right? That a coach would one of his big hires, right, and go to bat for you? That controversial?
And you knew when he was hired, I'm sure they talked about this privately, what's going to be the blowback? What is the media going to have to say? Oh, we don't care. We're going to hire him anyway. We're willing to take the negative PR that comes with it. So Chris Doyle, whatever he's doing in that weight room and on the field, it was worth it to Urban Meyer. And I don't think he really thought about the ramifications. Like, I'm telling you, Rob, if he had pissed anybody off on that Jacksonville roster, these are grown men, it would have been one player that for sure would have tried him. And
you don't doubt that for one second, that there would have been an issue, right? If he said something off color, sideways.
Oh, Rob, I've played with guys. I'm in a group chat with players, former players, and one of the players put in there, I would have tried him the first day, and I dare him to say something crazy. And that's how guys think. And so it's always a few crazy players on the team, man, and they just want to see. I want to see if he's going to say it. If he do, I'm going to knock him out.
Right.
And you don't want that to happen. And so, obviously, they made the right decision. But the fact that he was willing to walk through that storm and hire him, it says a lot.
See, that I'm with you. And I think, you know, at Ohio State, he had an assistant coach there who was involved, right, with allegedly domestic violence against his wife. Urban Meyer's wife knew about it, but Urban Meyer said he didn't know about it, and he went to bat and kept that guy around despite the stuff that was swirling, right? But this ain't college, though. See, in college, you know this, TJ. Those coaches, they run everything. Everything is about football. The football coach, the police are in on him and on cahoots with the college football coaches, the college president and the deans and everybody, right? They basically give this guy whatever he wants. He gets to the NFL and thought he was going to have carte blanche. Jacksonville just gave him $12 million to come down there to coach. Oh, I could hire whoever I want. I could go to bat. This is my baby. I could put this together the way I want. And what happened? The Fritz Pollard people came out with a strong quote, calling it, you know, this is another situation of the good old boy network, and that it was unacceptable. And then you had NFL analysts all over the country ripping it, sports writers writing columns that what is this? With the temperature of this country and what we've been through, TJ, to you just said it, that they were going to push this through. They really thought it was worth, Urban Meyer thought it was worth falling on his sword for this guy. Was he misread the room.
And that's why I say, man, what is he doing talking Chris? That's worth it. And so it's a good thing. It didn't happen. But moving forward, now players in the back of their mind, I wouldn't say they're going to question things, but they're going to look at things a little different. He's not going to be able to do certain things and get a mulligan from the players. And that's what people don't understand. Like in college, it's you can really control a team. In the NFL, you have to win. You have to have a good culture. You have to stand in front of those guys in that meeting room, and they have to believe what you're saying, and they have to trust you, and they have to know that you have their best interests. And here you are trying to hire a guy that belittled and was racist to African-American players at Iowa. And the sad part is Iowa, they were a predominantly white team. And when you get to the NFL, that each team is predominantly African-American.
The NFL 70% black, right.
I just don't know how they would fare with that. And then when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars roster, there's only one player that played at Iowa under Chris Doyle, Greg Maben. So I guarantee as soon as he got hired, guys were calling him because Greg's a DB.
Right.
He's an African-American guy.
So he would like to know, like, what's up with this dude? Give us the 411, right?
Oh, yeah. Guys were calling him, bro. What's going on? How was he when you were – they were trying to get a feel because you spend so much time in the weight room. You spend more time with them in the offseason. Now, if they didn't have OTAs and things of that nature, then the relationship wouldn't have been as strong. But if you have OTAs and you have an off-season program, you spend a ton of time with the strength and conditioning staff. And so that was something that it would have been interesting had this not taken place.
No doubt about it. It is definitely a misstep by Urban Meyer to get started. And you know, if he can get them to start winning or be respectable or whatever early on, then maybe, you know, this too shall pass. But if he gets off to a rocky start or there's any kind of questionable things, this is why it just seems so strange why he would put himself in this spot. You know what I mean? Before you even have a practice.
He can get off to a rocky start. He just has to have the belief of the players during the offseason that he has an understanding of how to right the ship. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is fantastic, but he better show them early on that I got this.
No doubt. All right, coming up in the final hour of the Dan Patrick Show, we're going to talk with former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson. He will help us talk about the Carson Wentz trade and even this Urban Meyer story and some other NFL topics. So we'll do that. That and much more. It is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh filling in. So you want to stick and stay on this Trash Talking Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh on your Trash Talking Tuesday, 877-99 on Fox. And now we welcome in former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show. Hugh, what's happening?
Not much. Just out here working with these kids.
Man. I was going to say, I know there's a lot of work to be done for sure. Hugh, we got a couple of topics. Obviously, we want to jump in with you. Let's start with the potential Carson Wentz trade. Maybe it seems like the Bears are the front runners. The Colts were there. It seemed like that was a natural fit. Where are you on that? If you were a coach and you saw you need a quarterback, would you be willing to take a chance on Carson Wentz rebounding? And does he fit with the Bears?
Absolutely. I think you say, first of all, let me answer the first question. You say, would I take a chance on him rebounding? Absolutely, I would. But I would have to do the work to find out where he is, you know, because that was a tough year for him in Philadelphia. He got hit a lot. Mentally, where is he? How is he seeing himself, you know? And I think all those things are so important when you do this. So that's the first and foremost. Do I think I would want to? Absolutely. The guy's a former second pick of the draft, so there's something in there. Now, has he been injured? Has some things happened during the year? Absolutely. But I would just have to spend that extra time because those guys are too hard to find. And if he's going to be able to make it back, well, I want the guy.
See, you say that because I know how you are. I know you're going to get every ounce of talent out of him. See, that's one thing that people don't realize is coaching is a lot about X and O's, but it's really about showing belief in the player and that player knowing you got that belief. See, they don't see that part of it. You're going to give him that belief. But that's another story. We're talking coaching. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. One, do you think – he's going to have success? And what do you make of him hiring Chris Doyle and then 360, he's not going to be part of the staff?
Well, TJ, let me answer that one first about Chris Doyle. I think that was a real black eye for him because he came out and said that those guys had worked together. They never worked together.
It was false. It was a lie. Absolutely,
you know, that's what I'm saying. So that's a problem. You know, that within itself is a problem. So it seems like you're trying to cover something up because you know there was an issue. And so I think anybody, before you hire a coach, you vet them out. You make sure you know exactly what it is the problems are. So that was disappointing. And he got to take a black eye for that. Okay, now as far as can he have success, he surrounded himself with a really good staff. But TJ and Rob, you guys know, it still stems from the head coach, you know, and how they see you. The rah-rah stuff you did in college don't work in the National Football League. They want you to coach them. They want you to lead them. They want you to add value to them. That's what the National Football League players are looking for. You don't do that by screaming at them. You do that by being detailed and disciplined and making sure that you create an environment for those guys to become the best they can be. That's yet to be seen.
It was interesting. Fritz Pollard came out with a statement after the Chris Doyle hiring, basically saying the good old boy network continues to, you know, churn and that the hire was unacceptable. But on the flip side, the NFL's tried to do all this stuff, Hugh, to get black coaches in the mix. Eric Bieniemy, another year has gone by, went to the Super Bowl again, no job for him. Only one African-American was hired in the, six openings in the NFL this year. How do we get this worked out to where a league is 70% black, but there aren't the opportunities for guys to have a career after playing or to be in coaching? This is broken. Something's wrong here.
Robbie, this has been broken for a long time, you know, and there's something that I've talked very strongly about. And I think in order to understand it, you've got to understand the history of the league. Minority players, coaches, wasn't at the start of the league. They wasn't needed. They wasn't wanted. It wasn't until there was an injunction that Kenny Washington, the first player to play, that's when he played. They had to go to court in order to have that happen. The first head coach, you know, was Art Schell. You know, so that's 40, 50 years after the league has started. So we all have to go back and understand the starting points for minorities is way different for our Caucasian brothers. And so what I'm saying to you is that's the way it was then. But the problem is, like you just said, it's 70% black players. So they're making money off the black players. But yet the black players can't lead an organization. So what's really being said is, we'll use you and make money off of you, but we don't need you to lead our organizations, which I think is wrong because this is an easy fix, in my opinion. You do what's right. If you have four head coaching jobs available, two go to Caucasian coaches, two go to minority coaches. And then let's let the data tell us where we are, right? I mean, that's what we did with the concussion situation. We made it mandatory that, you know, we're going to take the head out of the game. And both of you guys know, TJ and you, Rob, no, you can't take the head out of the game. They mandated that. And we made sure that over the years that coaches were coaching it better, things were getting better. So why can't we be intentional about diversity and inclusion? Why can't we do it the same way and okay. do what's right and what's fair?
Now, if I push back on you with that, it would be this. If I'm an owner and I don't want to hire a black coach, you're not going to tell me to hire a black coach. How do you navigate through that?
Well, to me, that's the part about mandating. I might not want to hire a black coach, but here's the coaches that we have in this pool that we say are the best. And it's what, if we're going to change this, if we're going to make a difference in this, and if everybody's standing for the right thing, then you'll be willing to do whatever, you know? Yeah, I got to vet this coach out. We vet out coaches every year. So why is it that we as an owner who has minority players who are some of the best players in the league on our team, but yet I can't get a black man to lead them? That don't even make any sense.
See, I do believe that it comes – the players have to be ultimately and organizations that don't promote – and give opportunities to African-Americans of teams you shouldn't want to go to or shouldn't want to play for. You know, that's the only way. When you start hurting them with people not wanting to play for you, I think that's the only way that they get the message. But anyway, let's move to J.J. Watt. Report came out of Cleveland that he might consider going to the Browns. What about that? Is that a fit for J.J. Watt and the Browns?
I think it's a fit anywhere J.J. goes. I just think he's that type of player. I think he's going to bring an energy. I think he's going to bring, some veteran presence in the locker room. And obviously, the guy knows how to win. So I think it's a fit, but I think he can fit a lot of different places. And I think it's an area where the Browns need to improve. So I can see that. But I can also see some other teams, because what I've heard is almost 10 teams that want his services. But it's going to come down to a bidding war when it's all said and done.
Hey, Hugh, I hear you out there on the field right now. For those that don't know, Hugh was getting the next generation of players ready for the NFL season in the combine, the draft. Which players out there that you're working with that we knew were really good and the ones that are surprising you, like, oh, this kid can really play it. I didn't know he was this good.
So the kid that I'm working with is Kellen Mond, the kid from A&M, the quarterback. And Amari Rogers, the receiver kid out of Clemson, they are as advertised. They're really good players, and Travis Etienne. I mean, these guys are special players, and they just got to keep working and really understand the NFL game more, which they will in time. At this point, we've had so many guys, but there's a young man, Deshaun, who's out of Texas A&M. He didn't play last year. He's a receiver. He's all of 6'2.5 TJ, he's 215 pounds, and he can run, and he can catch. And I think he's got a real bright future ahead of himself. You know, I think everybody's going to really want to figure out why he opted out, and that's something he's going to have to answer. But there's been quite a few guys out here that are really showing themselves, but at the same time, me and you both know it's what they do when the game comes, you know. And I don't know a lot about those guys that way.
Hugh, talking about the draft, if you're the New York Jets, what do you do? Do you keep Sam Darnold, drop out of that number two spot, drop down? TJ was saying maybe get a top 12 pick or something. Have you seen enough of Darnold to make a decision on him, or do you reset because this general manager at the Jets didn't actually draft Darnold and go and maybe get a Jalen Hurts or somebody else? What would you do in New York with that second pick of you're the Jets?
Well, I think that's the big question is, are we committed to Sam Darnold? If we're not, I'm doing everything I can to go get Deshaun Watson. I'm putting him on our team because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And if I can surround him with the coaching, the talent, he's going to win for me. But I have to make the decision of where Darnold is because I spent a lot of capital acquiring him and putting him on his team, whether I was a GM at the time or not. Because if he is the right quarterback for the coaches and the system that they're going to put in place, it gives us some leverage. If he's not, then obviously we got to go find that guy. And to me, I would be willing to package something together to give to Houston in order to get Deshaun Watson out of Houston.
Man, Hugh. So yeah. look at the you bring up Deshaun Watson. I know he wants out, and me and you, we talked a lot when you were the coach of Cleveland. I know you wanted to draft Deshaun Watson, but that's, as you would say, water off a duck's back. if you're the Houston Texans, do you try to make this work, or do you grant him his wish and trade him?
You know what's interesting, TJ? If I'm Houston, they just traded, they just cut, I should say, J.J. Watt. In my mind, they should do the right thing right now. The player don't want to be there. I'm not going to have someone with a new coaching staff that doesn't want to be there. I would do the right thing by the player at the time. I would make a decision because I got a chance to better my team and have a team that I have enough guys that want to be there. So I would be doing everything I can to move him because keeping a player, as you know, TJ, a player that doesn't want to be somewhere, that's not a good fit. It's not good for your locker room. It's not good for the new coaching staff. It's not good for anybody. So let's make this work, you know. Let's make this work by me getting something that I feel comfortable getting for the player. But I need to move on. And I know why everybody say, well, he must be crazy because this guy's one of the better quarterbacks. It's hard to give these guys away. No doubt. But if I have a conflict, it's not going to work. I can't make something work that's not going to work.
No doubt. All right, there he is. Hugh Jackson, former NFL coach, man. We appreciate your time this morning on the Dan Patrick Show. Have a
appreciate
great day,
you, Hugh.
Hey,
keep
thank you, guys.
It's better.
Yes, sir.